My brother, you can go ahead and open us up in prayer. Amen. Have Cody open us up in prayer.
Father God, we just come before you this morning, and we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for everyone that made it today, Lord. And we just lift up Bob Cassidy, Lord God, and we just ask you that you help him feel better, help him get some rest, Lord God, and that he can feel 100% by the end of the day, Lord. And Father, we just lift up this teaching and Ray, and I just pray that your hand is upon him in this entire church service today. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Last week, I'm just going to review a little bit of what we talked about last week and then go into the teaching for today. Last week, we're actually going off 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, and I'll read them again just in case somebody wasn't here last week. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Now, that was based on Paul's explanation as to why he chose to use the parable or the storyline of a race. Because he says that a race is like our Christian walk. So he used that to explain to the Corinthians how much similar it is. So he used the games of Isthmian that was something like the Olympics, so to speak, and they had a lot of competitions. They did races, musical talents, various activities that they used in the competition. And I explained last week that when they did that, their trophy, so to speak, or what they won, was a crown made out of wild celery. That was it. That was what they got. They didn't get no big trophy like we do nowadays, the nice, beautiful trophy with our name on it and everything. They didn't get that. After a while, they switched it from the wild celery to pine. And that's what we see nowadays in some of the books and stuff like that. It's the wreath of a pine, okay? And that's what they use nowadays. So we spoke on attributes it takes to win a race. And I bring it up again today. And one of the things that was brought up was desire. You have to have a desire for what you're doing to win the race, or to at least compete in the race. You have to want to be there, right? Nobody's going to want to do something or do something if they really don't want to do it. You're not going to do something if you really don't want to do it. So you have to have the desire. In our walk, we have to have that desire. A lot of times, things happen throughout the day that kind of dwindles a little bit. Our desire to want to do something, to get involved, kind of dwindles a little bit. So we lose that desire to want to participate, and sometimes in activities for the church, or even for that matter, even to come to church. A lot of times, that desire isn't there. We just don't want to do it. Okay? And we have to fight through that. Every single day, we have to fight through that to make sure that we connect, all right, with Christ, to make sure that every single day that desire is there. We have to have desire to do everything in life, right? Who does something they don't want to do? Well, in some cases, people do, but for the most part, we do things because we want to do them. Some of them are smart, some of them are not so smart, but typically we do things because we want to do it. Even to the mistakes we do, a lot of times we do it because we want to do it. Sometimes we do it and we want to blame somebody else, but we only have ourselves to blame. It's very easy to do something, make a mistake, and then turn around and say, well, he told me to do it, or she told me to do it, or it's his fault or her fault. The second thing is commitment. We spoke about having that commitment. We have to be committed. When we turn our lives to God, it's a vow that we make. It's a commitment that we make. To say that I'm going to follow Christ every single day of my life. It's a commitment we make. This is what I'm going to do. You make a commitment at your job. You commit to your job. Every single morning you get up, whether you want to or don't want to, you're going to get up. You set that alarm. You get up. You go to work. You do what you got to do at work. You're committed to your job. Okay? Some people commit to things that aren't so great. For us as Christians, we want to make sure that that commitment is there to follow Christ. Right? It's a commitment we make. The third thing I brought up was training. Now, through the course of this morning, you're going to hear that word a lot, training. We are in training every single day. Whether we see it or don't see it, every single day we're in training. We're in training for the ultimate prize. To be able to see God face to face. To be able to make it to heaven. So every single day, we're in training. I'll bring up a couple of points to indicate that. But every single day, we're training. And just like a race, we have the desire to win the race, to participate in the race. We make that commitment to get up every single morning. Like I mentioned last week, I got up every single morning. I was committed to participate in a race when I was in Puerto Rico. And every single morning, I'd get up, and I'd go to the beach, and I'd run the coast of the beach. Right? And every single morning, I was committed to doing that. Every single morning, I got up, and I did that. I was committed. It was the training. You have to train. We have to train. Okay? Every single day, we have to train. Our training is reading the Word, and I'll bring that up in a couple of other points. Reading the Word, sharing the gospel, prayer. We all agree that all those things are important. Without any of those, it is very, very hard to stay focused on the path. We have to stay focused on the path. In order for us to achieve any of these, we must have what maybe is the hardest to maintain. And I'll get into today's lesson. Self-discipline. Self-discipline. What does it mean? And why is it so important? The World Dictionary says this. And this is what it says in the dictionary. Now, it has a bunch of them, but I kind of just, for the sake of saving a tree, I kind of kept it simple. The act of denying yourself, controlling your impulses. The act of denying yourself, controlling your impulses. That's pretty serious. The second part of it is training and control of oneself and one's conduct, usually for personal improvement. There's a key word there. It's oneself, personal, and yourself. Oneself, yourself, and personal. The reason why God, I guess, put this in my heart was because I wanted to make sure that my walk is what God wants me to do. Walk with Him, my relationship with Him is where He wants me to be. Now, when I say, I use those three words because it's a personal walk, okay? We don't get in at a group rate. Can we agree on that? We don't get in because it's a group rate. We don't. Fellowship is great. I love my brothers and sisters, okay? But one day, I have to stand in front of Christ, in front of God, and give an account for my life. Not for nobody else's life. For my life. Now, I'm responsible for my family. God wants to make sure that, hey, I gave you a family. What did you do? I have a responsibility. Okay? But I don't make it in because me and Kenny are cool. Because me and Kenny go out to lunch, or me and Kenny socialize, and me and Kenny come to the same church. That's all great. That's beautiful. I love Kenny. I love having lunch with Kenny. That doesn't get me in. Christ gets me in. Can we agree on that? So those words, it's personal. It's up to me. A lot of times we walk into church, and I say we walk into a church and we start looking around, all right, and that's not the right thing to do. It's when I come to church, it should be that we walk in expecting to have something special that day with Christ. We shouldn't walk in expecting anything else. It shouldn't matter who's there, not there, who came, who didn't come. It should matter that me, Ray Silva, is coming to church to make sure that I connect with Christ. Because it's every single day. Okay? This race is an everyday race. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not something that you just race today and you're done for the week. It's every single day. Every single day, I guarantee you, the enemy is out there every single day. He's not going to give you a break. You think that'd be crazy because you prayed on Monday, you're cool for the rest of the week? He's going to say, you know what? He's good. He's covered. No. I guarantee you, on Tuesday, he's going to attack you. Especially if you were involved in something that has to do with Christ. If you were out ministering, if you were out spreading his word, if you were out praying for somebody, I guarantee you, forget Tuesday, that afternoon, that night, he's going to find a way to try and attack you. One way or another, he's going to try. That's why I go back to the word training. Training is every single day. We have to train every single day. If anybody that played any sports, Cody, swimming, did you just swim on Monday and Tuesday knowing that you're going to have a competition on Saturday and say, I'm good for the rest of the week? No. It was pretty more watch every single day. Twice a day. Yikes. Okay? Especially if it's a competition. That's something serious. Okay? He trained every single day. Whether his body wanted to or not, just like our Christian walk, whether this flesh wants to or not, we have to make that desire. We have to have that commitment to connect. Just like we connect our cell phones. And I know everybody here does that. Right? We plug them in. Because the last thing we want is, oh my gosh, for me not to have my cell phone for like 2 hours? I don't know what I would do. So we go ahead and run, plug in our cell phones. Every single day. Am I right? Does everybody plug in their cell phones every single day? Regardless if it needs it or not? It's just a habit. Now it becomes a habit. You know, you look at it, oh, 44%. I don't know if I get that cut. You know, I'll just plug it in. 65%. That's not that bad, but you know what? Just to be safe. Right? 65%, you're okay. But your mind starts thinking, well, I don't know. What if I get on the phone and so-and-so sends me a text and then I got to call this guy and then the company, you just never know. So you plug it in. We have to make sure that we plug in ourselves to Christ every single day. That's every single day. We got to plug in. We got to plug in every single day. We just can't assume that 35% is going to get us through. We just can't assume that 65% is going to get us through. The same way we kind of question whether or not the phone's going to get us through the rest of the night, we got to question our walk to make sure that every single day we're plugged in. We can't question whether or not that percentage is going to get you in. It's going to be good enough so when the enemy attacks, you're ready. You know what? I prayed last Sunday the enemy's going to attack you on Wednesday. You know what? You weren't prayed up on Monday, Tuesday. You weren't connected. Guess what? The enemy is going to slap you on the face, and you're not going to know what to do. Because he will. It's guaranteed. He'll attack you one way or another. He loves to do that. He hates for us to stay connected to Christ every single day. His mission is to make sure that we're not plugged into Christ every single day. And go back to the word. Self-discipline. First word, self. Who's that involved? Me, us, you. Doesn't say we. It says self-discipline. I have to discipline myself to make sure that I'm connected to Christ. Self-discipline. That takes work. That takes me making sure that I plug myself in. How do I do that? Prayer, reading his word, when I'm feeling down, something's just getting to me, call a brother up. I guarantee you, you can call Kenny anytime. Anytime. As long as you got someone plugged in, you can call him anytime, right? Hey, Kenny, I'm going through something, brother. And he's going to jump all over it. What's going on? Let's pray. To some people, sometimes you hear them out in the world, well, you know, we'll try and pray. You know, the least you can do is pray. The least, that's the most important thing we can do. That's the first thing we need to do is prayer. Prayer is power. We've heard that plenty of times from our pastors and from ourselves. I'm guaranteeing you there's people in here, in this group right now, that have testimonies of something that was going on in their life. And they decided to pray. They connected themselves. They had that self-discipline to say, no, instead of me going over here, I'm going to pray. And they got results. I know there's people in here that have prayed and gotten results like that. God has his own timing, but a lot of times God says, you know what, I got this right now. I don't want my son or my daughter to wait. I want to show him, I want to show her my power, and God will do something like that. So he can see his power. So we can be a testimony. So when we come to church and we can say, you know what, brothers and sisters, I needed a car real bad. My car broke down on Monday, and on Tuesday, God got me a brand new car. That's his power. Well, why is that so big? I had no credit. I had no credit to talk about. And look what I'm driving. That's God's power. That's our Father that can do that. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at that time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. By what? Discipline. I'll read it again. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I said that word trained. It's important for us to make sure that we train every single day. When we come to church, yes, I got a question over here. Going back to Cody, that first, I don't know nothing about swimming, but that first couple of laps, when you first jumped into a pool, was it easy? Miserable. For me, first of all, the hardest thing is actually say float. Okay? I got to make sure I at least stay afloat first, then worry about whether I can get to the other side. But that first time was a little difficult. It was hard. But every single day he got in that pool and he trained. And he trained. And he trained. And he trained. And he didn't give up. He was persistent. He was committed. He had that desire, that self-discipline to get up every single day and go get in the pool and train every single day. To where he ended up, you ended up winning, what, a couple of competitions and awards and trophies, right? Yeah. That wasn't easy at first. Same thing with us. It's not easy at first. Sometimes we think that, you know, you get saved and that's it. We're good. I'm done. I'm in. I don't have to do anything else. And then reality kicks in. I got to pray every day. I got to read the word every day. I got to fellowship. That's hard. Every day I got to do that? That's hard, Pastor. You got to train. Like anything else. At first, it's not easy. Nothing's easy at first. It takes work. But you know what? We have Christ every single day with us, helping us, edging us on. You can do it, son. You can do it. I know you can do it. I'm there. Don't worry about it. I'm right there with you. When you turn to your left, I'm there. When you turn to your right, I'm there. Don't look back. Look forward. That's where I'm at. I'm at the finish line waiting for you. Our Father's like this. Come on. He's got his hands wide open. He's waiting for us to make it to the finish line. We don't need to look back. We need to look forward. Self-discipline. The Bible explanation is this. And I like this. This is a very nice one. The dedicated training through the study of Scripture, prayer, and self-control, which enables Christians to be more efficient witnesses to the gospel, to lead lives more pleasant to God, and to win the crown that awaits those who are victorious over sin. I love that definition. The dedicated training takes dedication for us to have that self-control to make sure that rather be in the morning. For some people, it's easier in the morning to pray, to read the word. Maybe they work in the afternoon. For some people, it's better in the afternoon. We all have different times when we can connect ourselves, when we can plug in. But that takes dedication. That takes self-discipline to do that. Because you know what? This flesh don't want to do it. It don't want to do it. I guarantee you that. Nah. NCIS starts in a half hour. Yes.
I was waiting to see where I could fit this in. But when you talked about, you know, the timing and how, you know, everyone has their own time when it works out best for them. Yesterday we went and all my boys play baseball, and we were talking to the coach, and the coach said that this is Isaiah's coach, and he said, you know, my brother and I were talking about how some kids just get it, and some kids have it and some kids don't. And he said, Isaiah's got it. And he said, you know, when he's on the mound, I just love when he's talking himself, pumping himself up. And I said, well, it's funny that you should say that, because 3 days before that, Isaiah out of nowhere said to me, you know, Mom, when I'm on the mound and I'm talking, he goes, you know, I'm just not talking to myself, right? And I said, well, you know, I didn't know what you were doing. I figured you were pumping yourself up, you know, whatever. And he goes, no, Mom, I'm on that mound and I'm praying.
Amen.
And I said, that's awesome, buddy. And he said, it's not always about baseball, but sometimes it is. And he said, but that's where I pray. And I go, I love that. And I thought, what a testimony that he's 8. And that's where that kid prays, on the mound.
Amen. Yeah, God is there wherever we go. Wherever we go, he's there. You know, he says ask. All he wants is us to have a conversation with him, to talk to him, to spend time. You got a question? No, okay. To spend time with him. It doesn't matter. God loves that. You know, he picks this time right now. Jesus, I need you right now. I got this guy that can really bat. And I need a little help. That's nice. That's good. As adults, That's as an example for us. Sometimes when we're at our jobs and somebody's just bugging, man. I know that Eddie goes through that a lot. He's got to be prayed up every single day before he even goes to work. He needs not only the armor, he needs it like on the sides and the helmet and a couple of other extra parts he needs with him because of where he works. All that, you know, bad language and just, you know, that atmosphere. You know, but in through all that and that darkness, and that darkness, it can be a light. Where somebody, you never know that at the end of that building and the corner, somebody can see that light. And through all that darkness, somebody peeks out and says, there's a light in that corner. And I need to go there. We just never know. We never know. That's why we always have to be trained up. It takes self-discipline to make sure that we do those things. Why is it important? Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes.
That makes me real. What comes to my mind when you said that scripture, and actually this kept lingering as he's talking, was when Ray started the class last week. He said something about that we needed to do stuff or train ourselves. And what caught my attention was there, when we go to pray. I don't know if you guys this happens to you, but there's times when I'm in quiet and there's my mind is saying, get up and do this or get up and do that. But sometimes that's really not your mind. That's the enemy depositing things in your mind to make you get up so God won't be able to use you in that opportunity that he wanted to use you in that day. But it blesses me when I do stay, because then the Lord will use you in a very powerful way. And I'm going to say, even if it's a little powerful, because we always look for these big old, wow, splashy things. But in that time, it makes you run after him even more, because you did sit there for 10 minutes quietly. Or, you know, that takes a lot of discipline to sit there in quiet and silence, because you're sitting there fighting. Like he said about the phone, I want to get, you know, let me see the phone, or let me do this, or let me run and do this. But because you sit there for that 10 minutes or however many minutes, God uses you in a profound way.
Like I said before, self-discipline might be one of the hardest things to do, because it requires you doing it. Okay? I mean, am I right? It requires you doing it. I can't sit around and wait for somebody else. This is me. I can't wait around and wait for Kenny or Carmen or Donna to say, hey, Ray, it's time for prayer, bro. Can't wait on that. It might not happen. Guess what? Donna might be praying herself. Not that she forgot Ray, but she connected herself to Christ. It's her time. I can't wait on somebody else. We're not supposed to wait on somebody else to tell us when and how and where to pray. It's self-discipline. We have to discipline ourselves to make sure that we are doing the things that Christ wants us to do. The scriptures have said the flesh. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Flesh doesn't want to pray. It'll find every excuse in the book to make sure that you don't. Your knees hurt. You know, you're supposed to start dinner in the next 10, 15 minutes. So what? So dinner's late 5 minutes.
A lot of people think prayer is talking to God, which it is, communicating with him, but also you can do it through action. A lot of times actions speak louder than words to God. If you just say like something like off the top of your head, roll a little to him small, but if you get up and do something big, get up and go forth, that's communicating to him you're real more serious, and at that time so it'll help you more if you put more action in prayer than just talking.
Amen. The flesh does not want to be in the race. This flesh does not want to participate in this walk that we're in, this race that we're in. It doesn't want to. It'll find every excuse in the book to make sure that we are not in this race. In the race that has the ultimate prize. We sometimes just say it and we say it. But when you sit there and you actually start, and when you do that, later on today, take the time and when you're home and actually start meditating and what it'll be or what it'll feel like or what it'll seem like to be face to face with Christ, to be able to just talk to him face to face, to see all his beauty. We see a lot of beautiful things every single day, but to be there in his presence, that is the ultimate prize. That's why we're all in this race. Amen. Do we agree on that? We're all in this race for that prize. We're not in here just to be here. We're here because we know that he paid the ultimate prize. He gave up his son for us, for me, for you. He gave his best. And sometimes in our walk, we don't do that. We don't give him our best. That's why we train every single day. We should be training every single day. And that training, again, involves reading his word, staying connected to Christ every single day. Self-discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. You reverse those two words. Discipline ourselves to that every single day we find that time. He found his time. Her son found his time. He was on the pitcher's mound. I'm praying, Mom. It's my time to pray. And he said, it's not always about baseball. It's not always about everything else that's going on in our lives. It's about Christ. I mentioned earlier, can dinner wait an extra 5 minutes? Sure. NCIS, DVR. And believe me, I say NCIS because I love NCIS. Yes, over here. Sandra?
Yeah, with self-discipline, I was thinking about my best friend. He graduated from Western in Southwest, and he got a scholarship to go to U of M in Ann Arbor. So when he started going out there, he realized, you know, there was a lot of kids with better education than he got. So he had to put a lot more self-discipline of separating himself and putting a lot more work than others. And now he got a master's in architecture. So,
amen.
You know, he inspired me to put that in my everyday life to maybe, you know, even with church or anything, if something's not clicking with myself, maybe I got to put in the extra work on my own time to get through it, you know.
Man, that's self-discipline. And I'll try and finish up here quickly. I got just a few things. When training for a race, it takes a lot of self-discipline. Train every day. And I compare again, a race, our spiritual walk. And I'm referring to more of a spiritual walk. I'll say a few things here. Train every day. Pray every day. Read his word every day. Fellowship every day. Witness every day. Ask God to give you that opportunity to open those doors. So when you go somewhere, somebody that's in need, there's always somebody in need out there. The world is in need, desperate need. We have the resources. We have what they need so desperately. So we get to witness every day. Eating habits. If you're in training, you got to watch what you eat. Right? You got to watch what you eat when you're in training. For us, what are we feeding our spiritual bodies? Are we feeding it junk, bad language, selfishness, greed, pride? These are things that we got to make sure we are not doing. When we're in training, we got to make sure that we're feeding this body the right things. Just like if you were in training for a race, for anything, right? You got to be careful what you eat. You can't go ahead and eat a big old hamburger with a large order of fries and a huge shake and think you're going to run 10 miles. It's not going to happen. Okay? Hanging out. Are we giving him his time? Are we filling his time with our own agendas? I put hanging out because if you're in training, okay, if you're a boxer, swimmer, racer, whatever it is, weightlifter, whatever you're doing, you just can't be hanging out to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and think you're going to get up at 6 and start training. And I know that those that used to do it back in the days, party on Friday night, Southwest Detroit, to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and try to go to work the next day at 6. Some of us did it. I can tell you, it was extremely hard. It was. It wasn't fun at all. And I was not putting 100% at my job. Wasn't able to. Okay? So, and I put on there again, hanging out. Where are we hanging out at? Are we giving God his time? A wrestler asked his coach, "Can't I smoke, drink, and have a good time and still wrestle?" His coach replied, "Yes, you can, but you won't win. You can do all those things, but you won't win. We can do all those other things, but that might inhibit us from getting that crown." And I'll finish up with these last two scriptures. Titus 1:8. "Rather be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined." It's a very important word. It's in the scripture. And I'll finish with this one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says this: "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." The Holy Spirit is there with us. God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us, to make sure that we stay connected, that we discipline ourselves to that prayer time, to that word time, to that fellowship time, to that reaching out to others that need the gospel so desperately. So it is the hardest thing to do, but we have somebody that can help us get through it. We have Christ that will help us. If I guarantee you, if we stay disciplined and get in that prayer time and get in that word time every single day, like in training, it'll get easier and easier and easier and easier. Will you have hard times? The Bible says you will. But it's, I'd rather stumble and keep going than fall. I don't want to fall. It's okay if I stumble. It's easier to stumble and trip and just keep going because you connect yourself with God again than to fall. I don't want to fall. I want to make sure that I train myself every single day and discipline myself every single day to do what God wants me to do. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Let me see. Donna, can you close us in prayer? And downstairs, once we finish up, downstairs we're going to have prayer at the front of the sanctuary. So please make it down there. Amen.
Lord God, we just thank you for this word today. I thank you that Ray took time to sacrifice for us and put this word together to further our walk with you, Lord. And Father, I pray everything he spoke, Lord, you would impart to our heart, Lord, that it would be burned in our heart, Lord, to start spending that time with you, Lord God. Start putting aside time that other things don't matter, Father. And Lord, we just give you the glory today, Father. I pray for our worship and our time with you. Lord, I pray that we would meet you right where you want us to, Father. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.